Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. And I'd really like for you to go back and listen to all this week's broadcast. We believe it's time for the power of God to be manifested. We believe that prayer has something to do with it. And we also believe that God particularly wants to use young people in supernatural things. Now we're reading to you this week from a book, the past 2 days only, from a book called They Told Me Their Stories. It is the witness of Brother Tommy Welchel, who met some of the older people from Azusa Street who had been youth, young people, children, during the Azusa Street outpouring. And one of the marks of that Azusa Street outpouring was God used young people. And so yesterday we had here at Prayer Mountain, now I'm doing this on on a Wednesday, February 15. You're going to be listening to this following the third Sunday in February when we had our third Sunday prayer and healing meeting. And the Lord told us to have the young people minister. He showed me to have my grandson that Jesus appeared to lay hands on the sick. Jesus laid his hands on him. And you'll see Hannah there and others. And Jesus told me that he wants to use young people and he wants a lot of children to be healed. So I got this book out to read to you. They told me their stories. You can get this book from us. They told me their stories. You can just call us at 1-800-972-3447 and read this book, which is dedicated to the miracles at Azusa Street, especially those witnessed and performed through the young people. You can also get the book I read from earlier this week, John G. Lake. And you can get that book by calling 1-800-972-3447. Now, I'm going to read you the witness of Brother Anderson. Brother Anderson was 15 years old when he was at Azusa. The Azusa Street warehouse filled quickly in anticipation of seeing and hearing Brother Seymour as he proclaimed the Word of God. The crowds had grown from a handful of faithful followers to hundreds, now gathering several times a day to witness and experience the miracles of Azusa and the anointing of Brother Seymour. Among those attending was a 15-year-old named Brother Anderson, who attended the Azusa Street Revival faithfully. He was one of the first to receive the baptism with the Holy Spirit at Azusa and to be a part of this mighty work of God. Although he was just a few inches under 6 feet tall when the crowd gathered, Brother Anderson often found it difficult to see what was happening throughout the building as miracles were being performed through many of his teenage friends. The sight of Brother Anderson climbing on top of the benches was not uncommon. Like Zacchaeus of old, who climbed into a sycamore tree to get a better view of Jesus, Brother Anderson wanted a better vantage point to witness the marvels and the moves of God. I'm going to read you now of one of his testimonies that he gives about one of the ones that he saw. Are you aware? I'm going to get a couple of the ones he told here. Brother Anderson told me many blind and deaf people came. And he told me that he was about 15 years old when he attended Azusa. And he had been there about 10 times when God first used him in helping people receive healing. A young man not much older than Brother Anderson had a club foot. And when he entered the meeting, he tried to hide his disfigurement. He explained to Brother Anderson that he didn't want people feeling sorry for him. Brother Anderson asked the young man, "Are you aware of the Shekinah glory? We are in the miracles of God. You don't have to have this club foot." He went on to explain to the young man that Jesus, when he died on Calvary, got 39 stripes in his back, and they were for his healing. The young man replied, "But that was for sickness and disease. I just had my foot turned sideways." Brother Anderson replied, "God will heal it. You should see some of the miracles here." The young man finally believed a miracle was possible, and Brother Anderson began to pray for him. To their astonishment, rather shortly after the prayer, the foot didn't just pop out, but rather it just started to slowly move outward. In a matter of minutes, the young man was jumping and running and shouting. The foot that had been deformed since he was a young child and had gotten worse as he grew older was whole. In a few minutes, it was perfectly formed. Now I'm going to read to you about another of his Brother Anderson's stories. A younger woman named Diane maybe in her late teens or early 20s with two young children, walked into the revival meeting with her hand supporting a large growth or tumor about the size of a basketball on the left side of her head. Just imagine. She looked pitiful. Before she could even get seated, people, including Brother Anderson, started surrounding her. Anderson told the woman that God was going to work a miracle for her. She kind of rolled her head and her eyes, but didn't say a word. She came to get a miracle, and all she could do was nod her head yes. As the people began to lay hands on her, the tumor, or growth, began to shrink. The woman was speechless, standing there gasping, and finally yelled, "I'm healed." Through the grace of God, I got to meet Sister Diane. This is Tommy telling the story. I got to meet Sister Diane while I was at Pisgah in the 60s. She wasn't obese, but she wasn't a little woman. She stood just under 6 feet tall with a broad face and a marvelous spirit. I asked her about the healing, and here was what she shared with me. She had heard that things like miracles were happening at the Azusa Street warehouse. She even saw the flames going up and coming down. There were flames that would appear over that warehouse from heaven and back. So she thought to herself, "What have I got to lose? I'm dying. And if I go there and I die, so what? The doctors can't do anything. They can't operate because it is too big to cut off." So she says, "I waddled myself down to Azusa, holding my growth in my hands." A little embarrassed, she walked into the meeting, and shortly thereafter, the miracle happened. She remembered Brother Anderson being right in the middle of the miracle and just fell in love with him. That miracle not only saved her life, but propelled her into a ministry that would impact thousands of people over the years. With just 25 cents to her name, she started a soup kitchen when she was in her early 20s, and she was still serving soup to the needy and downtrodden when I met her. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, this is a young person who was there that many of you might know. It's the story of Brother Ralph Riggs. Brother Ralph Riggs was used to start the Assemblies of God. Now, this is a story about Brother Riggs and his mom. He was 12 when this happened. She was 35. We have talked about how God used youth and young adults to manifest many of his miracles. In chapter after chapter, we find kids as young as 12 years old being used of God in a mighty way. What we haven't talked about are the parents of these children, how they felt and what they experienced as their children were so involved in the Azusa experience. This chapter takes a brief detour as we meet not only Ralph Riggs, but also his mother. I met Mother Riggs at Pisgah in 1960. Pisgah was the place that Brother Tommy Welchel met all these people, and they had gathered there in their older years and were ministering through that ministry. By the way, I got an invitation recently to come to Pisgah. I don't know what's going on there now, but I think I'll go out there. And when she was at Azusa watching her son run around and be used of God, she was in her late 30s. By the time I met her, she was in her 90s. She told me that she mainly watched Ralphie run around, a nickname that wasn't Ralph's favorite. Mother Riggs told me that Ralph and his best friend, C.W. Ward, you might know Brother Ward, or if you're listening and you know anything about the Assemblies of God and how powerful the Wards were in it. C.W. Ward didn't complain. Ralph and C.W. Ward didn't complain that they had to be at church. In fact, they preferred to be in church rather than anywhere else. Mother Riggs wasn't just a spectator. She, too, was actively involved in healings and miracles and spent much of her time with Sister Carney. Although she mainly participated with others, God also used her when she was by herself. Mother Riggs had bright eyes that would just glow as she started talking about Azusa, and they glowed as she told her story. Like all the others, Riggs loved the Shekinah glory. She told me that the main thing she missed was the power of the mist or cloud as it glowed. She was convinced that the glory they experienced was a part of heaven, and she was walking in it, living in it, and breathing in it. She was also convinced that the abundance of miracles was happening because of the Shekinah glory and the presence of God in those meetings. On occasion, Ralph Riggs would stop by Pisgah to visit with his mom. During four of those visits, I had the honor of spending time with him. As mentioned earlier in this book, Ralph Riggs and C.W. Ward founded the Assemblies of God. Even though I knew he had stories in abundance about the Assemblies of God, I wanted to know about Azusa and his teenage years there. Brother Riggs told me that he watched the fact that he appreciated the fact that he wasn't just a spectator watching older people do miracles. God also used him to do them. He was given the liberty to go to anyone he wanted to and pray for them, and to his astonishment, they all got healed. He worked with his best friend, C.W. Ward, who was 2 years his senior. Riggs noted that each of them had six or more miracles or healings every night. When it came to miracles, they weren't a team. It was every man for himself. I guess that so many people came for healing that they just went up for them and prayed for them. When I asked Brother Riggs about his most memorable miracles, he shared a few of his many experiences. His biggest miracles was this big, gawky guy in his early 20s who stood over 6 feet 5 inches tall and weighed over 250 pounds. He came into the meeting with alcohol on his breath, slurring his words and reeking of stale alcohol. Riggs felt a voice inside of him saying, "Pray for him." Finally, Brother Riggs went over to the man, realized that not only had he been drinking, but he was also blind. Somewhat stunned, Riggs looked at him and said, "You can't see, can you?" The man said, "No, that's what I came here for." Riggs, now somewhat more compassionate, prayed for him, and he was instantly healed. Not only were his eyes healed, even the stench of alcohol was gone. The man just sat for a while crying and sobbing and finally said, "It's true, it's true. I'm healed." Here was a homeless, blind alcoholic, restored through the miraculous power of God, who later in life was used of God to preach revivals and establish many Pentecostal and later on Assemblies of God churches across the Midwestern United States. Most of the time, the Shekinah glory was spoken of with reverence, but there was one time that Brother Riggs shared revealing a lighter side. He told me that when Seymour would get down, the Shekinah glory would get so thick that you could hardly see the ground. With a smile, he confessed that there were times when it was so thick that he and Ward would get in the back of the room and play hide-and-seek in the mist. Since they were just young teenagers when at Azusa, I asked him if he ever tried to put Seymour's box on his head. He said, "Nobody touched Seymour's box." But Brother Riggs said, "I tasted a bit of heaven." Folks, we're talking about the manifested presence of God, and especially at working through young people. We're praying for that. We're even listen and watch our third Sunday prayer. It's online. You can go on billybrim.org, billybrim.org, and see what happened just yesterday. Praise the Lord. You can get this book, They Told Me Their Stories, or the John G. Lake book from us. This is Billy Brim saying shalom, shalom. And I'm so glad you've been with us, but I do invite you to go right back to Monday and listen to all of these, for God has laid it on our heart to pray for the manifestation of dunamis power to his glory.